KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulfido. We begin in Orange County, where after years in court, a day of closure for grieving families. That's because Scott DeCry was sentenced Friday to life in prison for killing 8 people at a beauty salon in Seal Beach in 2011. KPCC's Jill Replegal reports.
DeCry long ago confessed and pleaded guilty to killing his ex-wife and 7 others in a shooting spree, but his sentencing had been delayed by allegations that prosecutors misused a jailhouse informant in his case and failed to turn over evidence. On Friday, friends and family of the victims packed an Orange County courtroom for DeCry's sentencing. Many were tearful, others angry, as they addressed their loved one's killer. Gordon Gallego hid in the salon's bathroom while DeCry shot and killed his best friend Laura Webb on the other side of the door.
I want you to know that I'm haunted by the whisper of her last breath.
DeCry apologized to the victims in court, saying he wished he could turn back time. Last month, Orange County Judge Thomas Goethals ruled out the death penalty for DeCry because of prosecutorial misconduct. During DeCry's sentencing, Goethals told victims' families that Orange County's criminal justice system had largely failed them. For the California Report, I'm Jill Replegal in Orange County.
The 2 Democratic lawmakers who have been pushing for reforms to California's bail system are now looking for a peek behind the curtain at how the bail industry operates. KQED's Marisa Lagos reports.
Assemblyman Rob Bonta and Senator Bob Hertzberg still think bail punishes people for being poor, and they still want to fundamentally change how California decides whether to let people accused of crimes out of jail before their trial. But with that legislation on hold until next year, they're now also looking to learn more about the insurance companies that work with bail bond agents. Hertzberg says the more he's learned about bail, the more questions he has.
Are people being gouged? Is a government-created monopoly that's creating these crazy prices?
Before we go any further, here's a little background. When someone in California is arrested and charged with a crime, a judge often sets a bail amount they must pay in order to get out of jail. If the defendant doesn't have the money, they can pay a fee to a bail bond agent, who essentially promises the court they'll pay the full bail amount if the defendant skips out on court. Those bail agents are backed by insurance companies. Hertzberg and Bonta say they want to know more about those under-the-radar insurance companies. They wrote a bill that would require more oversight of both bail agents and surety companies and asked the Department of Insurance to study the industry. Jeff Clayton represents the insurance companies. He's a lobbyist for the American Bail Coalition, and he says he's baffled by the bill.
We already do a lot of the stuff that's in this bill. We audit our agents regularly, at least annually. We're required to file a form with the Department of Insurance when we terminate somebody, and if there's misconduct, we have to tell the department. So, you know, I'm really kind of confused as to what they're trying to do here.
The legislation will be taken up in January when lawmakers return to session. In the meantime, Hertzberg says, the Senate plans on holding a hearing this fall to study the bail insurance market. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
California Task Force 2, an elite urban search and rescue team from the Los Angeles Fire Department, is in Mexico City. In small crews, the 67-person team is looking for people trapped beneath buildings that collapsed during Tuesday's 7.1 magnitude earthquake. Emily Green reports.
It's Sunday afternoon, and Abe Serrano is coming off a 10-hour shift. He and the other team members jump off the back of a military truck and take off rescue and survival packs that weigh up to 85 pounds. The 47-year-old Serrano was born in Mexico and grew up in the United States. He's been with this L.A.-based search and rescue group for 16 years.
Well, it's a little more emotional. There's a more, because it's a connection to my roots. And I also have relatives that live here in Mexico City.
The night before, he received unwelcome news. A friend of his aunt's was among the missing, along with a friend's daughter.
That just gives us a little motivation, you know, being that, you know, it's somebody that we know. Somebody I don't know directly, but it's someone through family.
Since arriving, the LA team has focused its rescue efforts on a 6-level office building in the hard-hit Roma Norte neighborhood. Levels 2 through 6 are a pancake collapse, which means the floors landed on top of each other. That's the most deadly kind. The ground floor and first floor are a partial collapse, meaning there are more void spaces and a higher likelihood of survival.
We went through the first stages of tunneling from the top, from the bottom, from the sides, trying to find some voids and some signs of life. And we've exhausted all those resources, our technology, the dogs, the search cams.
Now the team has switched gears to a process known as delayering. That means using specialized cutting tools and cranes to carefully remove big chunks of concrete from the top down. Once they do that, they will reevaluate to see whether to keep searching. Canine handler Dennis Clark worked from 9 p.m. Saturday night to 9 a.m. Sunday morning. His dog, Rugby, is trained to sniff out living people. But that night, they only found bodies.
It's really tough. And it's really tough because a lot of the family members are there looking for their loved ones. It does hit home.
Still, team member Sarah Rothbun says there is hope of finding people alive beneath the ruins. In Haiti, one man was rescued 27 days after the 2010 earthquake.
People can survive. It's incredible. And it just depends on where they are trapped, what the circumstances are, what the weather is outside, what their injuries are. But there are a lot of factors that can go into it. People can be still alive.
And it is that hope that motivates this expert team from Los Angeles to keep searching. For the California Report, I'm Emily Green in Mexico City.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. The James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
Author and poet Shel Silverstein lived in California for most of his life. Silverstein also wrote this song, A Boy Named Sue. He played it for Johnny Cash at a house party, and the next day, Cash left to record his legendary San Quentin prison session and ended up playing it, turning it into an instant classic, an important part of California music history. We remember that this morning, September 25th, on the late Silverstein's 87th birthday. I'm John Sepulveda. This has been the California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio. Have a great day.